If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. And verse 27. And if you don't know where the books of the Bible are, this will be an easy study for you, because you just have to find Proverbs and stay there all day, because we'll be in it all day, and actually for the next few weeks as well. And so each of the men are going to be taking a particular theme from the book of Proverbs, and the theme that I'm going to be teaching on is working for a living, and principles that apply to that, principles that we can incorporate into our daily work schedule. So let's begin in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 27. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of the diligent man is precious. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for the principles in the book of Proverbs that are so applicable in any age. And Lord, we just pray that you'd help each one of us to apply these principles to our lives. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The first theme, or the first aspect of working for a living that we're going to look at in the book of Proverbs is thrift, being frugal or thrifty. And here, Solomon describes a man who was slothful, and he doesn't roast that which he took in hunting. Now here, Solomon is describing a man who went hunting, and he was successful in hunting or trapping or shooting an animal, but he didn't roast it, he didn't cook it and eat it. And the result was a great waste. You know, if you don't cook meat, it isn't going to last very long, especially if you don't have a refrigerator. And once it rots, the meat that you hunted and captured one way or another, once it starts rotting, it's useless. Now, it could have been of great value to that man who was working and hunting and captured that animal, but it was wasted due to negligence and laziness. And you know, there are possible reasons why a man who hunts and captures, say, gets a deer and he doesn't roast it. Maybe he caught so many that he ate one and didn't bother with the others. You know, even if it was in abundance, even if you have an abundance of something, don't let it go to waste. You can always share it with someone else and be a blessing to them. But once it rots, it's not good to anybody. And you know, this verse kind of reminds me of the Wild West in America, when men were going out west, when the trains first started going through the West. And a lot of folks from the East Coast would go out to the West, and they just shoot buffalo out the window. It was fun for them. It was a hunting experience, and as a result, they didn't roast what they shot. And as a result of that, we almost lost our American buffalo. They almost went out of existence because of that. Sometimes a hunter might catch a deer and procrastinate. I really don't like all the work of skinning it and cooking it and cutting it off and slicing it up, and it's too much work, and maybe he puts it off, he says, maybe I'll do it a little later this afternoon, and he falls asleep, and he says, well, maybe I'll do it tonight, and by the time he gets around to doing it, he keeps procrastinating, the meat starts to rot, and it's no good. Maybe he was just too tired after his hunting. You know, hunting is the fun part. That gets your adrenaline going, and it's exciting, and you like that part of it, but the skinning and the cooking and the roasting part, that's not too fun. And as a result, this man didn't roast what he caught, and it was a great waste. And you know, all of this can be boiled down to laziness. He says in verse 27, it's the slothful man who roasteth not that which he took in hunting. So whether it was he had an abundance or whether he's a procrastinator, the bottom line is he wasted what he could have had. And that which could have been beneficial to him and others was a benefit to nobody. He was lazy. He was slothful. And look also, keep a hand here, and look also in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 9. Proverbs 18 and verse 9. He also that is slothful in his work is a brother to him that is a great waster. So here, Solomon tells us that a man who is lazy and slothful, he has a twin brother. And his twin brother's name is Waste. That was my wife's maiden name, but she spells it a little differently. But she is not slothful, I'll tell you. But this great waste, if you have something and you don't cook it in time and it rots, you've wasted it. You might as well throw it away. And so these two brothers, the man who is lazy or slothful and the man who is a great waster, they're cut from the same cloth. They're from the same family. The lazy man wastes the good gifts that God has provided for him. And as a result, that's poor stewardship. He doesn't take care of the material blessings that God has provided. And often all it takes is a little effort up front. If he didn't have time to roast it, he could have at least cut it up and salted it to make it to preserve it. A little effort up front can prevent a great waste. There's another proverb that's not found in the Bible, but it is proverbial in nature and true. A stitch in time saves nine. A little effort up front will save a lot in the long run. Cooking that meat or salting it makes it last longer, especially in the days before refrigeration. And so here, Solomon's point is that a little effort, a little work, a little diligence pays great dividends. And you know, when you think about it, why pay good money for something and then not use it? And you know, I hear ads all the time for things that people might want to buy right up front. It sounds good. They packaged it very well in the advertisement. But you know they're not going to get out of it what they put into it. A lot of people buy exercise equipment. And it sounds great. Okay, I'll use that and I'll get my money's worth and I'll save on the gym. And it ends up becoming something they dry the wet towels on in the cellar. Why pay money for something that you're not going to use or you don't need? You know, there are ads on for all of these monthly fees that you can put onto your phone or your television for all of these different services, music services, and all kinds of other apps and things. And how often are you really going to use all those things? Are you going to get your, you know, it might seem like not too much. It's only $10 a month for this or for that or the other service. But when you add them all up, you're paying quite a bit. Do you really need 150 TV stations? Do you really need three telephones and the cell phones? If you have a cell phone, do you really need a landline? So there are some ways that we can be wise and not waste what God has given us. To be good stewards. And to be good stewards means that we take advantage of the things that God has given us, we use them wisely and efficiently. That we are thrifty, that we are frugal. And a thrifty man doesn't waste things. He squeezes that last little ounce out of the toothpaste tube. And he makes his coffee at home, and he gets a nice cup of good coffee for 35 cents a cup instead of $5 a cup at Starbucks. plus all the cream and whipped cream and sugar they put in those, it's like eating it's like having two fraps a day. The thrifty man doesn't spend all of his money going out to eat. It's very expensive going out to eat. Once in a while is great, but not all the time. And just add up all the money that is spent going out to restaurants, and that adds up over a while. And you know, if you look at the almost obscene portions that some restaurants give, try splitting a meal. That can cut the cost of going out to eat in half. Pay off your credit card every month. Avoid interest. Squeeze as many miles out of your car as you can possibly get. You know, there are lots of ways to be frugal and to use our money wisely. And while others might call us a cheapskate, that's okay. The Bible calls it good stewardship. So, you know, if you're a thrifty person, if that's your nature, if you're by character, but you've trained yourself to be thrifty, then you're going to be thrifty and frugal at your job also, where you work. And you might, and your boss might discover over time that you're efficient in what you do, and that you don't waste time, and that you don't waste material goods, and that you have discovered easier and cheaper ways to get the same quality out of the workday. And that quality of being frugal and thrifty, a wise employer will notice and will reward you for it. And so there are benefits to being frugal and thrifty. And let's look at another principle that we see in the book of Proverbs that is beneficial in our work life. And turn to Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28. And here the author speaks about a faithful man. Chapter 28 and verse 20. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Now here, the author is speaking about a particular kind of faithfulness. And the kind of faithfulness that he's describing is, you have to look at it in the context of the verse. So it's not a contrast between what we might see as a faithful man versus an unfaithful man. Rather, the contrast is between a faithful man and somebody who tries to get rich quick. And that's the contrast in this passage. And the contrast is between two attitudes toward work and the rewards of work. And so here, the author tells us that a faithful man is faithful with respect to his job, his work, his means of supporting himself and his family. In other words, he's reliable, he's consistent. He's faithful in doing his job. He doesn't procrastinate. He doesn't slack off. He gets the job done. He's faithful and reliable and dependable. He's responsible. And therefore, his boss can count on him. And the boss knows that. And also, his co-workers know that he's responsible and faithful and dependable. That he gets the job done without whining, without excuses, without procrastinating. And a faithful man is faithful even when nobody's looking. He's faithful in doing his share of the work. He's faithful consistently day after day after day in the long run because he didn't just go to work to be consistent on Monday or faithful on Monday. It's his character, it's his nature to be that way. And so this is for the long term. And he does all those little chores that others at the workplace might just skip over and leave for somebody else. But he's conscientious. He's thoughtful. He's slow and steady, like the turtle that won the race. Might not be as fast at doing everything as the hare or the rabbit, But he's slow and consistent and steady and faithful, and he gets the job done. The faithful man is the man at work who keeps his word. If he says he'll do something, he does it. And he keeps his appointments. Not like the last two companies we hired here at the church who said they were going to be here on such and such a day and never called and never showed up, but that's another story. In the long run, that kind of business practice really is not beneficial. Faithful is what God honors here. The man who keeps his word. The man is a good worker. It says in Proverbs chapter 20, you don't have to turn there, but there, Solomon says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who find. And his point there in Proverbs chapter 20 is that for employers, it's hard finding good workers. It's hard finding a man that matches up to the qualities we see in the book of Proverbs. And I've heard this over and over again through the years from people that run businesses and of, you know, small and large, that it's hard to find good workers. And you know, when an employer finds a good worker that he can count on, that's reliable, that's consistent, that does the job without all the excuses and putting it off, they're happy to pay a little extra for that person, maybe a lot extra, if he goes the extra mile, if he's faithful. In Proverbs chapter 25, there the author likens, well, let's turn there. Turn to Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 13. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refresheth the soul of his masters. And here, the author is describing, even though it's hard to find a good worker, it's hard to find somebody that you can send to do a job and know that it's going to get done and it's going to get done on time in the right way. But when it happens, here Solomon says to the one who sends that person, to the boss, to the employer, it's like a drink of ice water in the heat of harvest time in the Middle East. They didn't get much ice water in the middle of a desert in that hot climate when it was harvest time. But it's so refreshing. It refreshes the soul of the one that sent that man to do the job. And often that's the man that's going to be promoted. Now the passage that we looked at in Proverbs 28, he says that man, that faithful man, is going to abound with blessings. There are rewards, both spiritual and also physical and temporal. There are rewards for being that kind of a person. Hard work, faithfulness, consistency pays off. And that kind of quality in a worker is prized and rewarded. And very often it's the faithful man, not always, although there's a lot of nepotism and corruption in businesses sometimes, but a faithful worker is often promoted and honored and remunerated for his faithfulness to the job and to the company. He's a blessing to his boss and to his co-workers. They can all count on him. They know he's going to do the job. And over time, because his faithfulness has been consistent over years, he's proven himself. Now, the goal of being a faithful worker is not just to advance self. It's not for self-promotion. It ought to be for the glory of God, to be a testimony for the Lord. But here in the book of Proverbs, we discover that when our goal is right, to honor and glorify God by being the best worker that we can be, there is also a side benefit to it. You'll be rewarded for that, abundant blessing. But then also look in Proverbs 28 and verse 20. A faithful man shall abound in blessing. And now look at the opposite of what he means by a faithful man. He that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. So here, the opposite of a faithful man is somebody who just wants to get rich quick, and he doesn't want to do all the hard work to get there. This is a covetous man. He desires to be to have money and to prosper and to have material goods, and he wants them right now. This is a person who doesn't want to wait for things. He doesn't want to work his way up. He wants it right now, everything. He's the man who starts a new business and he just expects it to flourish overnight, and he doesn't want to put in the years of blood, sweat, and tears and all the sacrifice that it takes to build up a business. And because he's not an overnight success, he quits and goes to something else and then to something else and to something else. Or the young couples that get married and expect to have a nice house, two new cars, and fully furnished with beautiful furniture the first year they get married instead of waiting. Or the student who doesn't want to take the time to or the expense to go to school. And he thinks he can go out into the world he's so clever that he'll be able to get a good job and make a lot of money. And he might make a good salary right up front doing some manual labor, but over time, he may not do so well in life. And there are countless other situations where it's not good to haste to become rich. Instant gratification, like Esau. He wanted his porridge, and he wanted it now. And you know, when you're pressed for time to become rich and prosperous and successful, the temptation is to use any means whatsoever to get there. Devious means to accomplish that goal. And oftentimes, that drive to become rich in a hurry is at odds with principles in God's Word. And here, Solomon says that this man shall not be innocent. He will not be free of guilt. And that speaks of a moral connotation associated with hasting to be rich. If you want to be rich in a hurry, go to the racetrack. Gamble. That's a quick way to get rich. You just put your money down and you get lots of money back. And sometimes they'll win a little bit of money, and it will encourage them to go back and go back and go back. But over time, those casinos are not out for your benefit. And that man will not be innocent. The man who wants quick money, he'll end up owing the bookie a ton of money. And the bookie will come after him. Instant success and instant prosperity take time and blood, sweat, and tears to get there. And later on, in this same chapter, in verse 22, Solomon says that he that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. If you want to be rich overnight, there's a moral connotation to that. Your goals are off-center. Your goal really isn't to be glorifying the Lord. Your goal is self-centered and to become rich overnight. And that kind of man has an evil eye. He's focused on wrong things, evil things, and poverty shall come upon him. Because in the long run, that's not the way you become rich. By quick schemes and scams. The faithful man will abound in blessing, but the man who's hasty ends up in poverty. And let's look at another principle in the book of Proverbs that is helpful in our everyday work life. Turn to Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 18. Whoso keepeth a fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So he that waiteth on his master shall be honored. And here the principle is maintaining things, keeping a fig tree, watching over it, preserving it, protecting it, maintaining it, keeping it in good shape and good health. And here, this idea of keeping a fig tree speaks of a farmer who's responsible. It's his job, that's what his job is, to take care of that tree. If it needs water, he has to water it. If it's attacked by bugs, he has to do whatever he can to get the bugs away. It might need fertilizer. Then he'll have to put fertilizer around it. But if he does, he shall eat the fruit thereof. You know, if a man takes care of a fig tree, then he's earned the right to benefit from that fig tree. Now, just say this fig tree was your job. If you take care of doing all your duties at your job, then you've earned the right to benefit from that job. The laborer is worthy of his hire. And the husbandman, the farmer that laboreth, must first be partakers of the fruit. And so the man who takes care of his fig tree behind his house or in an orchard, wherever it might be, has every right to benefit from the tree that he's taking care of. And there's another implication here, and that is that there's a direct connection between the kind of care given to that tree and the quality of the fruit that comes out of that tree. There's a connection there. If you do a so-so job and you just give it what it needs every once in a while, you might get some fruit out of it. But if you keep it and it's well maintained and you take extra good care of that tree, then it's going to provide a quality fig, quality fruit, and it will last a long time. And you'll benefit from it for a long time. And so there is a direct connection between the labor and the amount of labor and the quality of our labor and the fruits that we benefit from it. And I'm told that of all the fruit trees in an orchard, fig trees are high maintenance. And that's probably why that was used as the illustration here, because it requires a lot of maintenance. But you get a quality reward from it. And this tree, if it's well maintained, will provide bountifully for you for many years to come. The tree might outlast you. But you know, it takes a long time for a little fig tree to become fruitful. And you have to take care of that fig tree sometimes, just like starting a business, even when it's not very fruitful at first. You might get a couple of scrawny little figs the first year. It takes time and effort and maintenance over the long haul. But if you maintain it and take care of it, then in the long haul, it's going to benefit you for many, many years to come. And you know, there are a lot of things in life that are like that fig tree, that if you take care of it, it will take care of you. That's true of the material things that God has given to us. If you have a car, if you have tools, if you have a house, they all need constant maintenance. And a little upfront maintenance will prevent you from having to repair it or buy a new one. You know, if you have a car, you need oil in it. You need to make sure that the car is tuned. If you have a house and you don't paint it, the wood is going to rot. It needs to be painted or stained or something to protect the wood. And so a little maintenance up front, a little care up front, is going to protect that, and it will benefit you for many years to come. And this is true of our own bodies. God has given us bodies. And if we take care of our bodies, we feed it well, we exercise, and we take care of our bodies, it will serve us well for many years to come. Just like that fig tree. And this is especially true in the spiritual life. The book of Proverbs also says, keep your heart with all diligence. Take care of your heart with spiritual things. In fact, take care of your heart first. And if we maintain that close relationship with the Lord, it requires maintenance. It's not just getting saved once and then we're good for eternity. We'll have eternal life. But we need to maintain that relationship. And we need to maintain our heart daily. We need to be in God's Word. And if we maintain and keep our heart close to the Lord, confessing our sin daily, sometimes hourly, then that spiritual relationship to Christ will benefit us the rest of our days. If we take care of our heart, it will take good care of us. And look also in that same verse in chapter 27 and verse 18. Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. And then he words the same thing with the same principle with a different illustration. So, he that waiteth on his master, maybe your employer, shall be honored. And so here, this principle is applied to farming, and it's also applied to a master-servant relationship, and we could certainly apply it today to life in the workforce, working for a boss. Waiting on your master, taking care of all the things that he requires of you, is in some ways like taking care of that fig tree. The servant's to wait on his master. Whatever he needs to get done, do it. Maintain that relationship. And do a good job at it. And if you do a good job and maintain that relationship, chances are that that master will take good care of you. That's what happened to Joseph. He was a servant. And of all the servants, he became the best. He was faithful and consistent. He waited on his master, and he was elevated above all the others. And then he was wrongly thrown in jail. And as a jailbird, he was better than all the other jailbirds and was elevated there. And that's what we read here. He shall be honored. The servant that does his best to wait on his master, to do all the things that the boss requires, he's going to be honored. He's going to be rewarded and given high status. Just like the man who takes care of the fig tree will take care of you. If you take care of things at your job will take care of you. And the application to us is obvious. At our work, doing the best that we can. Maybe you're an employer. A big part of your job is to maintain the morale of the workforce. To make folks feel that they're accomplishing something, that they're doing something worthwhile, and that their work is appreciated. And so here Solomon is encouraging all of us, whatever our lot in life might be, to take care of business. And at work, there are a lot of things that need constant care, whether you're the business owner, whether you work there, a factory or an office. The building needs maintenance. If you don't take care of the building, it's going to become dilapidated. If you're an employee there, your work skills need maintenance. You need to keep up. You need your educational skills to be maintained over time, especially in the high-tech industry. Things change overnight. And so that's a constant reading of manuals and learning new products. And the same thing is true with relationships with people at work, with your employers or employees, co-workers, managers, branches of other companies, customers. You need to maintain that relationship. Machinery needs to be maintained. Morale needs to be maintained to motivate workers. And so, as years go by, if you're faithful and consistent, if you do your job well, if you maintain the relationships and your skills and all these other necessary ingredients to take care of your job and to take care of your boss and to make sure that he's happy with your work, as years go by, that's going to be noticed and appreciated. Normally, that kind of faithfulness and that kind of a work ethic is going to be rewarded, just like that fig tree. Sometimes it takes time for that little fig tree to grow and to be fruitful and to have good, lush figs. But if it's maintained and taken care of, it's going to benefit you in the long run. And maybe things might start out small at your job, but if you're faithful and consistent and you maintain your skills and your relationships with others, then over time, that's going to be rewarded. And in that same chapter, in Proverbs chapter 27, the author also makes another illustration teaching a very similar point. And let's look in verse 23. Proverbs 27 in verse 23. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds. For riches are not forever. And doth the crown endure to every generation? The hay appeareth, and the tender grass showeth itself, and the herbs of the mountains are gathered. The lambs are for clothing, and the goats the price of the field. And thou shalt have goat's milk enough for thy food, and for the food of thy household, and for the maintenance of thy maidens. Here the author tells its readers to be diligent to know your flock. And that diligent to know is one word, and it means to care for, to look after, to maintain. And a flock needs to be maintained, just like your job in the factory, or just like a farmer taking care of his trees. Here he uses the illustration of a shepherd taking care of his flocks. And the shepherd needs to be engaged with the flock in carefully observing it. And this principle is helpful in the business world and the everyday work world. Be aware of your responsibilities and maintain them. He says, look well to thy herds. In other words, the shepherd is to set his heart on the well-being of his flock and his herds. That's his job. He's to be devoted and committed to their well-being. And that's a good attitude towards our responsibility at our job. We should be loyal and dedicated and committed to the well-being of the company that gives us a check every week. And here the two commands taken together, know your flock and be committed to their well-being, indicate that the shepherd needs to diligently and consistently lead his sheep, take care of that flock. Because notice he says in verse 24, riches are not forever. Solomon, or one of the authors of Proverbs, says money is like, it has wings and it can fly away. You can come into a lot of money and think that that will last forever, and you can lose your job, or the company can go out of business, or the whole product that you're making becomes obsolete. Lots of things can happen. And here, don't count on things going on forever and ever. Even if you're the king and you have a crown, that may not endure to every generation. Wars can happen. Things can, your country can be overthrown. And so his point is, don't just settle down and say, okay, things are going great. I'm on easy street. Maintain things. Look well to your flock. And certainly this would apply to pastors and elders in the local assembly. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking oversight thereof. And a Sunday school teacher. Your little flock is your class, or parents. Your little flock are your kids, or those who have responsibilities at work, those who work under you. That's your little flock. And whatever your little flock might be sure that you know that flock, you're acquainted with their needs, and you're dedicated to maintaining and providing for those needs. And look in verse 26. and the lambs are for thy clothing, and the goats the price of the field. And thou shalt have goats' milk enough for thy food, and for the food of the household, and for the maintenance of thy maidens. Just like the fig tree. If you maintain that fig tree, it will provide for you year after year. And here he's saying with the flocks, whether they're goat or sheep, if you maintain that flock and take care of their needs and do your job as a shepherd, then that flock is going to provide food. It's going to provide clothing from the wool and milk, and it's going to provide for you and your family and your maidens, others that might work for you. And the flock is able to reproduce itself and go on for generation after generation. Some businesses, if they're well maintained, they can be passed down to your children and to your grandchildren. If we take good care of our little flock, if we take good care of our little fig tree, it will take good care of us. And look also in the next chapter, he says something similar in chapter 28 and verse 19. And he that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. So notice here that Solomon says, if you till your land, if you do your job, if you maintain the garden, you'll have plenty of bread. If you take care of the land, just like the fig tree, or just like the flock of sheep and goats, or just like your master, your employer. Here, he uses the illustration of a garden. If you till the land and you take care of the soil, then that garden is going to provide plenty of bread for you. But then he goes on to say, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. In other words, the person that doesn't till the land, the person that doesn't take care of his garden, he's going to have poverty. He's not going to have bread. He's going to have poverty instead. And so to the shepherd, his flock was his business. To the farmer, his field is his business. To the orchard worker, his trees are his business. And all of these principles tell us that if we take good care of these things, they'll take good care of us. And so if you own a business, take good care of your employees and they'll take good care of you. If you're a parent, take good care of your children. And in time, hopefully, they'll take good care of you. And this applies to all the material things that we're responsible for. If God has provided a house for us or a car or a lawnmower, whatever it might be, normally, if we take good care of the assets God has given us, they'll be a benefit for us for a long time to come. And we all have assets of one form or another. Diligent labor and maintenance of what we have pays off. We reap what we sow. And so God has given us, every one of us here has, we all have some kind of, we have spiritual assets. We all have if we're born again, we have a spiritual gift. If we exercise it, if we're faithful in serving and ministering, then that spiritual gift will be a blessing to you and to others for a long time to come. If we ignore it and let it rot, then not much of a blessing comes. And the same thing is true in the physical and material world. God has given us lots of material goods, and he wants us to maintain them. He wants us to take care of them. And if we take care of them, they can be a blessing to us and others for many years to come. And the same is true with our finances. If God has given us finances, he wants us to be careful in the way we handle them. And if we're diligent, and if we maintain them in the right way, they'll be a benefit to us for many years to come and to others as well. In other words, we're to be good stewards of what we have. and to consider that whatever we have came from the Lord. And if it came from the Lord, He intends for us to use it for His glory. And as we follow the principles that He's given these things to us for, we discover that we can glorify God by the way we work and the way we take care of the things that God has given us. And that's an important part of our testimony. Work, we spend, especially men, spend many working hours, a good chunk of our lives are spent working. And for women, it's round the clock. That never ends. So God wants us to be good stewards of the time and the talent and the material things and our job and our responsibilities. And if we do, they can continue to be an asset for many years to come. If we take care of what God has given us, those things will take care of us, and they will be a benefit to us and to others, and maybe to our children and their children. So I think we will close here, and we'll pick it up with the same theme, working for a living in principles in the book of Proverbs. Let's close. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You, Heavenly Father, for the truth of it. And we pray that You would help each one of us, Lord, to apply these important principles to our lives and in countless ways, Lord, in all the things that we do and how we spend our time and how we take care of our assets and our material possessions and our workaday life. Father, help us to be good testimonies for Your name's sake. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.